Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, we give you thanks. We give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies, Lord God. And we praise your holy name. Lord God, there is so much going on in our nation. So much pain and hate and sorrow. God, we seek you. Do not turn your back upon us, Lord God. Because if you do, we'll die in our sins. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy. And now speak a word for us, Lord. We who are here, we who are online, speak a word for us. We who will yet listen, speak a word for us, Lord. A word of forgiveness, a word of hope, a word of love. Speak a word for us, Lord. And Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, compel us to hear your word. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our redeemer. Amen. This is an interesting text today. I don't know if many folks have heard it and understood it. It's from Acts of the Apostles. You know, now that Jesus would have ascended after the crucifixion, we have not done the Ascension Sunday yet. I think it's next week. But based on the text, Jesus has now gone, the Holy Spirit has come, which we'll celebrate in June. And this text is about a change for someone. A change, right? And it really shows us that the gift of salvation is for all of us. And as you see with this slide, it says here, so if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Right? And so we're going to see that breakdown, and Peter had to get a lesson, as we had to get a lesson, understanding that the gift of salvation is for everyone. It's up to them to choose it or not choose it, up to us. But the gift of salvation is for all of us, everyone. And it's up to the human being, each individual, to choose it. So I'm going to break down this story for you. Next slide. So let me break it down a little bit. I put up some pictures so you could see. And so what happens here? Peter, this happens in chapter 10. Of Acts, and Peter is now repeating it, you see, to some folks, and this is in chapter 11. Chapter 11, we just showed the scriptures read beautifully, Peter's report to the church at Jerusalem. Peter is now telling the church at Jerusalem, right? So it says at the beginning of chapter 11 there, it says, now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God, right? So they have heard now. Remember now he's talking to what? The Jewish Christians. And they heard now that the Gentiles, I would have been a Gentile, right? We who were not born in the Jewish religion would have been what? A Gentile. But, you know, the Gentiles have now accepted the word of God. And so Peter went up to Jerusalem. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. Do you know who were the circumcised believers? The Jews, right? The Jews were circumcised at 8 day. They still are circumcised now. They're little boys. And they were called the circumcised, and the Gentiles were called the uncircumcised, right? We were the uncircumcised. circumcised, right? And it says here, he says, so Peter went up to Jerusalem, and the circumcised believer criticized him, saying, why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them? Because they still wanted to be under law. And under law, you wouldn't eat with an uncircumcised believer. So the slide says, Peter went up. So while Peter is explaining to him what happened to him. Peter did not want to eat with the uncircumcised. But this is what happened to Peter. Peter went up to the top of the housetop, went to the up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So he went to pray about noon. So the picture is here, Peter is praying about noon, and he's in a trance, right? He's praying to God, and he's in a trance. And he sees the heaven opened and a great sheet bound at four corners, as you could see that little picture there, four corners, filled with four-footed animals, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds. So it's going to be a vision. And he's going to see all these animals and things that he would normally eat as a circumcised believer, right? The next slide, it says, and there came a voice. You could see a little bit better the animals were. It's in his dream. It's a dream. He's in a trance, right? And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And that voice came from heaven, rise up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter says, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So even though Peter had accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, he was still living under what? Law. So he was saying, those meats were what? Unclean. He could no longer eat it. But this scripture is not just about eating food. It's not about that. I'm going to give you what the story is all about. And the voice came to him again, a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common, or do not call unclean. This happened, next slide, did I tell? Oh, yes, sorry. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up once again into heaven. So God would say to Peter, what God has called clean, you cannot call it unclean. Remember, believers here, we were the ones who were considered, we were not born Jewish at that time. We weren't there at that time. We're called what? Unclean. Unclean, uncircumcised. That salvation did not come for us first. It came for the Jews, right? That it came for the Jews. And now, even though Peter has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's still holding on to the past. And sometimes we are like that as human beings. We separate people by race, by color, by class, by sex, and all kinds of other separations. All kind of other delineations. We separate folks. We find ways to separate. And so Jesus is telling Peter, as he tells us, what I call clean, you cannot call it unclean. Because only Jesus knows our heart. Only Jesus knows what we're about. How much Christian believers need to hear that now? Because we have gotten caught up in separating people, right? Not that we have to all be doing what is wrong, but we have to understand that salvation is for everyone. Whether we like it or not, it is between them and God to make their choice. And so here's some of my points on salvation. God's sovereign purpose, next slide, oh, is there. God's sovereign purpose includes the salvation for all. Concerning God's purpose, it is fundamental to understand that salvation is God's program and God's doing. But God uses us in the process. We are the one who have to spread the gift of salvation. But it's God's purpose. Because God is the one who would send Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but would have what? The everlasting life. God is the one who did it. God did not ask our permission. And some people hate when someone that they don't like or don't care about accepts Christ. We should be rejoicing. And whatever cleaning and purging they need, it's up to God. Right? Because you remember, Jesus said to them when they were stoning that woman who they called a prostitute, and he said, if she's a prostitute, and she's a woman, which one of you men went with her? Because she can't be a prostitute by herself. Right? And everybody was quiet. It's in the Bible. Trust me, these texts are in the Bible. I know it well. And then Jesus says, is there anyone without sin? Cast the first stone. Is there any one of us? We all are to be saved by God's grace. Amen? By God's amazing grace. Next point. If you are not in some way involved in getting the gospel out to the nations, to people, you are not involved in God's purpose. God's purpose is to what? Spread the gospel. To tell people that there is hope. There is life. Right? In the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next slide. The local church should be as radically, as racially diverse as the local population. We thank God that this church is diverse. At this stage, if everybody was here, but we do see it, now, this church is diverse. It has grown to be a diverse church, right? We're from all over now here. We're white and black and Indian and whoever God sends. That's how the church should be, because the population is diverse and salvation is for everyone. Amen? The doors of the church are opened, right? We all bring wrong thinking into the Christian life. Many of us bring wrong thinking into the Christian life. Here's an example of a wrong thinking. Human traditions are more important than salvation. Many people think human traditions, what we do in the church, the liturgy, lighting the candle, standing and singing, is more important than salvation. No, it isn't. Because Jesus did not die for brick and mortar. Jesus died for the salvation of human beings. Amen? Died for you and me. Whether we're black, white, yellow, tangerine, male, female, Jesus Christ died for us. Another wrong thinking. The church should consist of my kind of people. Now, who's my kind of people? Christians. Right? The church should consist of Christians. So if the church should only consist of Christians, what about the folks who are not Christians? And how are they going to hear about Jesus? How are they going to hear about Jesus? How did we hear about Jesus? Because somebody brought us to the church once, whether it's our mama or daddy, or when we got grown. The church as sinners. Some of us, you know, you never know. So the church as sinners. The church as blacksiders. And the church as Christians. The doors of the church are open because that's the only way people are going to hear the gospel many times. He's in the church. And to know that Jesus loves them. He died for them. He shed his blood for them. And they're saved by his grace. Amen. That's the only place they're going to hear it many times. Because we don't even have street ministries, and they're hearing it now from here, and they're hearing it online. Yes, those online, I may not know them. It doesn't matter. The message is that Jesus Christ died for them. And he died and he made heaven a free gift. And the changing is up to us. Amen? So we cannot look at the outside of someone and believe they're a Christian. Oh Lord, have mercy. Right? You can't look at the outside of someone and say, oh, they're a Christian. There's no mark on our heads that we're Christians. Only Jesus knows our hearts. Amen. Wrong thinking. Another wrong, God has to do things my way. Many of our churches are running into problems and some of them are closing because God would send people from different places and different cultures into those communities. And there were folks who were sticking the mud and they said, if it ain't done my way, it can't be done until their churches end up closing. Whose way should we be doing it? God's way. Whose way is perfect and right? God's way. Amen? God's way. Do you have to like everything I do? Do you have to like every way I live my life? No. But you need to pray for me that I will change. Right? That when we come by truth, thus as God changed you and God changed Peter, he says, get up and eat, Peter. Eat the pork. Eat the fish. eat the steak. Eat, Peter, because I have now consecrated them all. Oh, praise God this morning. God changes our wrong thinking so that we can be his instruments of his work. If we allow God, God will change our wrong thinking. You see, God changes us as we seek to walk with God. Friends, have you ever believed in something? Did you ever believe something in the past and now it's different? And now it's different. There are folks who didn't understand people of color because they didn't have them in their schools and in their communities and anywhere. We know that in America, right? It was not said segregation as in South Africa, but it was segregated society and still is in some part until they got to meet some people of color and realized that we were just like them. We want the same things. We want our children to do well. We want to live in a decent house. We're the same way and we love Jesus the same way they do. And we hate crime the same way they do. My God. And that there's bad and good in every race. And there are killers and murderers in every race. We learn to realize that, look beyond what people are and look at who they are. God changes us by jarring us to uncomfortable circumstances. God will bring us to uncomfortable circumstances. And this nation is going through what a thing is this nation going through now. Now we just heard about Buffalo. 10 people or 11 people just shot like that. Another racial incident. My God, my God. What is happening to us? What is happening to us? I'm telling you, church, to pray. Because only God can change us. All the laws in the country and all of that is not work. We need to go back to a praying nation. We need to be on our knees seeking God so that he will intervene. Next slide. God changes us by repeating the lesson until it sinks in. Sometimes we get the same lesson over and over and over and over again until it sinks in. God changes us by appealing to our thinking with his word of truth. Right? He appeals to our thinking through the word and through the preacher. Like I'm appealing to somebody's thinking today. Maybe online. Someone who has hate and evil in their heart, I hope they would hear it. And says, I don't have to hate anyone. Right? I need to love as Jesus would say in this text. God changes us by getting us to see that he's sovereign and we are not. That God is sovereign. When we are gone from here, He's still God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if I did not believe in the sovereignty of God, I would lose my mind. Because I think we would be swallowed up in what's going on. Swallowed up in the evil. But I believe in a God that can change everything. And bring it back to what it is. God changes us so that God, next slide. God changes us so that God can use us in greater ways to fulfill God's sovereign purpose in saving the lost. God wants us to fulfill His purpose in saving the lost. I might have told you a story once. Some folks, I'll say it again, that I heard a preacher man, I might have read it somewhere, that there was a church, those, you know, a church, and many people were in, and this woman came to the church, and they ultimately realized that she was a woman of the evening, a prostitute. We see the words in the Bible all the time. But whatever happened that day, she needed to hear something from Jesus. Nobody knew her life before. So she walked into the church, and she had, I don't know, a skirt so short, they said, you know what I mean, so short that everything was out. Coming up, and the pastor was standing there, and you could see people getting afraid, and she came up, and she got to the altar. And the pastor came down and went to her. And he kind of gave his congregation, you know, like the look, like, we're going to be praying. And he began to pray for that woman. And she cried and cried. She cried her pain and she cried her shame. She cried. And that woman would accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And became a member at that church. And God, guess who would change her clothes? God. She stopped dressing that way, joined the choir later on, became one of the prayer warriors, and no longer wore those green skirts. God can change us. And God will. And some of us, is not our outside clothes. God has to work on what? Our inside. Some of us are dressed like I'm dressed, with a thing all the way up to the neck and a dress all the way to down the ankle. But our inside is so messy, only God can change us. Amen? Only God can see and change us. So the scripture says, as I come to a close, it says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Right? I want to just say something first before I say that what Paul said. Peter said to them in Jerusalem, he says, if then God give them the same gift that he has given us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Because they were want to throw the people out of the church. The uncircumcised, people like me, the Gentiles. And when Peter finished with his statement, they realized, and then they said, if God gave them the same gift, if the same gift of salvation was given to the Jews and given to me, who am I to stop somebody else from receiving the gift of salvation? Amen. And then Jesus' text tells us, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What a statement we need today in our nation. What a statement. The final slide, please. What a statement. Just as I have loved you, love one another. Love each other, black, white, yellow, and pink. What a statement for today. Because if that young man up in Buffalo loved those folks, loved them as God loves us, he would not have taken that rifle and killed all those people he didn't even know. Love. Jesus demands us. We don't have to love what people do, but we need to love them. And salvation, friends, is for everyone. Amen. I am saved. You are saved by the grace of God. And because we are saved, we should want everybody to be saved. Because Christ commanded us to do so. So this text on Peter and the eating, you will remember that. Jesus used that food to explain to him that you could eat anything in this thing that he's showing him, any animal, because I have saved them. Because I have saved them. Because I, Jesus Christ, have saved them. Thanks be to God for salvation. Amen. Do you ever get up and just say, oh, thank God that you're saved? Saved from eternal damnation. Saved and has a place in heaven, wherever you believe heaven is. I don't care where you believe it is, state of mind, a physical place. All I know that it's with Jesus. And it's for eternity. And it's for everyone who will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen.